Mitch.
Yes, Kelly.
Are you telling me you're going to let a woman drive voluntarily?
I'm a feminist.
You are?
Yeah. I think you should be able to drive. I don't think you should have to wear a headscarf.
I like headscarves. I like that, like, 1950s convertible, like,
oh, the
West
Hollywood,
Coast.
Big glasses?
Yes.
I think Lee kind of has that style going. She likes to wear the big glasses, and she definitely has, like, a classic Hollywood look.
She could totally rock that. You just need to get her the convertible now.
You know what her favorite car is?
I do not.
It's like a 1980s Mercedes. I don't know about you, but I've been reflecting on my life.
And while you've been stuck in Texas?
Way to really step on it. All I was going to say was that as I continue to look at where I'm at in my life, I see that I am still...
stuck in Texas.
Yeah, see, I would have thrown it on me. But yeah, you know, I posted something looking for some work around the Dallas area, and somebody hit me up, and they go, hey, just out of curiosity, why are you stuck in Texas? That's kind of like the main thing on my Facebook page now anyway is...
a bunch of links to our podcast.
Post, yeah. So a few people are finding out about it.
That's awesome. I did listen to it myself on Spotify just so I could give us a 5-star rating because I'm a big fan of the show.
Well, I cannot wait until it's released on iTunes because I'll give it a 5-star rating on there.
Perfect.
I'm just waiting for our cover art. And by the time it goes up on iTunes, there'll be 6 episodes or 7 episodes for people to binge. It'll be perfect.
Perfection. I love binging, so... and purging?
Me too. I tend to binge quite a bit, especially when I'm sad. You're going to lead us today.
Okay. So, what's going on with Billy?
Oh, is that what we're going to start with today?
I feel like you...
Billy is great. She is just being really independent right now. Everything's good. But the one thing that I was thinking about heavily...
Heavily thinking about something?
Yeah, like it's just been on my mind a lot. It's been weighing on me.
Okay.
I was on short-term disability, so I wasn't getting paid as much money, and I'm seeing the effects of financial strain. And I have like a savings account set up for her, I guess. But what I really wanted to kind of ask you is looking forward to the near future and then the distant as well. What were some of, like, the unforeseen expenses that you had with your kids? Like, and again, like, obviously college is one. So I have a savings account. It's like a market mutual fund account for her that she can access when she's 18. And that'll have about $40,000 in it.
Wow, big spender.
But you can't access it until you're 18. So that's going to be either for her college or whatever she wants to do with it at that point.
Or her 1980s Mercedes.
Yes, that she would then give her mother. So, like, I know college, but what about things in the early years? Or maybe some things that people just don't necessarily think about would be some, like, things that I need to plan for.
Are you going to send her to preschool?
Yeah, I mean, probably. She does like to socialize, and both her mom and I work. So at some point, it's going to need to be more than just 2 days here and there with a sitter.
That was the big one for me. We only sent one child to preschool for 1 year, and it wasn't necessary. We were living in Italy on the economy. So even though my husband was in the military, we were at a remote base. I sent him to preschool for a year because he was in that prime language learning window.
Yes.
And I wanted him to learn Italian because why not? You know,
well,
you live there.
Well, how's his Italian now?
Well, I'll tell you how his Italian was then. My son found the only other non-native Italian-speaking child in the preschool and taught him English.
Really?
Yes. So his mom would come up to me. She spoke Spanish. And we would muddle through the fact that she had no idea what her child was saying and then realized he was speaking English.
That is hilarious. So they were from Spain, I take it.
Yes.
He just was like, you know what? I don't care about the Italian language. This kid's going to learn how to talk to me the way that I want to talk.
Yes. Yeah. So that was an expense that we didn't see coming.
I had a lot of Mexican roommates when I was in the Marine Corps.
Really?
Yes. I learned how to say some really great stuff like me gusta señoritas con las nalgas grande.
You like women with big boobs?
Butts.
And you cannot lie?
No me... I don't know how to say lie.
Where we sent our kids to primary school was actually an English-speaking school. So they loved that our children went there because they were native English speakers. And
so it was out in town?
Right. We weren't associated with a base.
Gotcha.
So we lived in a city. There were like 12 Americans.
Why would they have an English-speaking school in Italy?
It's where the really, really rich people would send their kids so that they could be more competitive in business.
One day you're going to go to the New York. You're going to open up a pizza place. You need to learn to speak the English. Miscusi. I just know Miscusi from a movie called Eurotrip.
I remember that movie.
Yeah, it's one of those Saturday Night Live guys plays a weirdo on the train. And he keeps getting uncomfortably close to him. And he's just like, "Miscusi." Is that excuse me? And
sure.
You didn't learn very much Italian either, did you?
I would always say, permiso, permiso. Like,
give me permission?
Right. Excuse me. Can I have permission to pass?
Sorry. In Spanish, it's con permiso.
Oh.
With permission.
With permission.
Yes. That's what I always say when I grab my wife's boobs. Con permiso?
Oh, I thought you would say, me gusta... Chi-Chi's. Now, that was a restaurant. Okay. They had fried ice cream. That was my favorite thing there.
You think it would melt?
It boggles the mind. Boggles. My kids went to an English-speaking primary school, and they loved us because we paid money to be their zoo attraction. Like, come to this school. We have native English speakers.
I'm just picturing you and your family behind the bars in a cage.
Right. That's what we were. When we lived in Italy, I hung out with the most misfit group of immigrants rather than a large amount of Italians. So
You know what you need to do is you need to write a pilot based off of your time there in Italy. That could be a fun exercise. We'll talk about that maybe later then. So preschool was the big...
That was my big expense.
The big expense.
Right. But I mean, really... The expenses for kids at the young age, the preschool age, aren't really terrible.
But what about like planning for other things like moving forward? I mean, I know like you should always have money in a savings account or whatever, you know. But I'm just wondering what things as she's growing up.
Right.
I think everyone is like, you got to save money for college. But what things like really catch you off guard is, wow, I can't believe that cost so much money over the last 18 years or whatever.
The big ones that stick out to me, when they get into sports and clubs, those things always cost way more than you expect that they will.
That's why soccer is so popular in poor countries.
They can just go out and play.
Get a ball and start kicking it around. That's it. Whoever kicks the bar farthest wins.
Here, soccer is big money. Everything kind of costs. Everything you have to get a uniform for, you've got to pay.
But for soccer, it's cleats, Umbro shorts, and, you know, whatever shirt they're going
to
wear.
Welcome to 1990.
But that's it. That's really it.
With baseball, you
got to have batting gloves, cleats, the whatever glove you're wearing out in the field, chewing tobacco.
Sunflower seeds.
I mean, a mullet. Oh, man. I should get a mullet.
That's how you can pick out every baseball player at my kid's high school.
They have
that kid has a mullet. You're like, does he play baseball? Yeah.
Does he drive a Trans Am?
No, they all...
He probably plays baseball.
They all drive trucks here.
I'm glad that I didn't have a boy. No matter where I lived, I wouldn't want my son to play football. But living in Texas, it would be really hard to say no to that because of how, I don't know, just people who don't have kids or would go to high school football games. It's a big part of the culture here. And I would probably have to put my foot down on that one. So I'm glad with having a daughter, it's really going to just be sports that make her, you know, like really self-conscious about her body and stuff like that, which is, you know, slightly better than CTE.
You can still put her in some sports where she has a chance at a concussion. I was a gymnast. I got concussions.
Yeah, and that's what Lee did as well. And that's the one where, because Lee's a little taller and bustier. You know, at a certain point in her growing age, they were like, yeah, you got to stop developing if you're going to compete in this sport.
We're going to need to starve you to the point of not.
Yeah, isn't it like I read something that girls now are going through puberty at a younger age because because of the type of food that we eat, it gives us a higher fat percentage. And so when you have a certain amount of fat percentage, your body will go through puberty quicker. So when you're starving kids in gymnastics to keep them small, that also kind of slows their development a little bit as well.
You do end up with a really low body fat percentage, and there's plenty of girls who don't menstruate. But I mean, like, when did you start bleeding?
I mean, I had nosebleeds from a very young age, so I knew. I've always known what women are going through. I've been able to relate.
It's just because you put tampons up there.
I mean, it really does stop the bleeding.
They're amazing. The technology that's come about in that particular line of products.
I mean, when you go to war, they're like, here's some tampons in case anybody gets shot.
Pack the wound.
Plug it up. Plug it up like one of those disgusting bleeding vaginas.
Okay, so as far as the expenses go, the ones that I've had now.
I do want that to stay in the podcast.
You got it.
Disgusting bleeding vagina.
You got it, because I'm going to circle back around to that shit.
Okay.
Oh, is that going to be one of the expenses?
Vagina.
Yeah, here's the one thing you got. Well, as soon as she turns 12 or 13, you're going to go broke spending money on maxi pads.
All right, Grandpa. So one of the expenses that I'm going through right now is both of my kids drive.
Yes.
So they have cell phones. Since they're like young adults, everything I do for me and my husband is pretty much done for my kids. Like, we go out to eat, it costs twice as much. We pay car insurance for four people. We pay phone bills for four people.
Wow.
We have a third car that the kids can drive.
Does it, when you add a teenager to your insurance, does it pretty much double it?
It's, then? And with my daughter, it was less than with my son.
Right, because they assume girls have less accidents. Boys are hot dogging. I was doing it when I was little.
Girls have more accidents, but it's mainly from their bloody vaginas.
Oh no, these pants are ruined. Okay, so we got sports and insurance.
Sports. Clubs. And then they start being the same size as you. So
clubs. She's not going to the club, not as long as she's living under my roof.
Not that you know about.
She can go to church.
How secure are those windows?
Oh, they're gonna be bolted down.
That's great. That's fire hazard.
No, I don't care. I'd rather you burn in a house fire than sneak out of this place.
Like,
I had a friend that I stayed with on weekends sometimes, whose father nailed his window shut because we would sneak out sometimes.
You know, there's other windows and doors. I'm just saying.
Oh, we would go out the door every time. We had like the floors mapped out to where we knew where they would creak. And we would go out and we would smoke Marlboro Reds.
Wow, you guys were from Georgia.
Yes.
Something else that I never saw coming is, like, Titus got invited, his school got invited to take the orchestra to play in Carnegie Hall.
What? That's crazy.
Which is an opportunity that he's not going to miss.
Is he in the orchestra? What instrument does he play?
He's a very
good triangle. That's a lot of money to go play the triangle.
He's an amazing Asian child. He plays the cello.
He plays the cello? Really?
Yeah, Titus plays the cello, and he also plays football.
You know my favorite classical song is Cello Suite.
Yo-Yo Ma?
Uh-huh. I love that. It was part of the soundtrack for Master and Commander, but I can just put that song on and just everything's okay for a little bit.
I love Yo-Yo Ma. He's my absolute favorite.
Do you think Titus can play a cello suite?
No.
Well, tell him to start practicing.
I think that he could get there, though. I think that's it. My child is full of potential. But my point about telling you about the Carnegie Hall trip is that's like $3,000. Just, hey, to make this happen, $3,000. And it's going to happen.
You know, you hope that your kid's not that talented. That's really what this is telling me. You know, maybe she's not going to be that good at sports. I don't want her having to join any travel teams. Don't be first chair in the high school band. Don't even be second. Knock it down to about fifth chair. That way you're not messing up the band, but you're not getting invited to Carnegie Hall. You know, you can start getting better once you're paying your own way through life, I guess.
So I'm going to actually go up to New York for the week that he's there, and I'm going to go see him playing Carnegie Hall and catch some shows, and he won't be with me. I'll just be on my own.
You're going to be there for you, and then, hey, going to go watch my son at Carnegie Hall. That way you're also not cramping his style.
Right, because he'll be with those party animal orchestra kids.
Yeah, well, I mean, we've all seen American Pie. And we know what happens at band camp.
Oh, no. That'd be really hard with the cello. Oh, but there is the bow.
Well, Titus doesn't have a pussy, so
if he did, I would have to buy.
He's not going to be able to stick a cello up there. That was the critical part for what she said.
That's going out. That is not staying. Titus does not have a vagina.
Okay, that's better. I was just saying it the way she did.
One time at baby camp, God,
he can't even say it.
Nope, sure can't. So I guess the bottom line...
The bottom part is where that cello got stuck. Okay, sorry, go ahead.
So in addition to going to Carnegie Hall for $3,000, he's doing two summer camps that are both four digits. And so we do like a lot of like fundraising opportunities. And
when they go to summer camp, how long are they there for?
Usually like a week. One of them that he's doing this year is down in Florida. He's going for a week on a sailboat.
Depending on how long I'm on second shift, working like till 11 o'clock at night. Yeah, once summer comes around, I'm hoping Billy doesn't want to do stuff like that. I'm hoping she'll be like, ooh, finally I get to spend like 5 hours with Dad before he goes to work or whatever. And then she can just do summer camp activities with me. You want to throw a hatchet?
You can come over to my house. I've got a axe throwing wall.
Yeah, we'll throw an axe. You want to go canoeing or whatever? I don't really want to go outside a lot during the summer here, but for her, I'll do it.
You could whittle her a canoe.
Ooh, you know what I did? I found a perfectly shaped tree branch to make a slingshot out of recently, and I saved it for when she gets a little older.
Did you find one to whittle a flute out of? So you and your wife could have a band camp experience?
No, I did not.
So those are things that are huge. I feel like sometimes my DJ job literally just supports Titus's extracurriculars.
Well, I mean, that's why you're doing it.
And then
everything that you do as a parent is for your kids. That's what I'm finding out.
They siphon money. It's amazing.
They siphon money. They siphon dreams. They siphon whatever is self-identity. It all just goes to the kids. Who am I anymore? That's what I'm wondering.
The other thing that
we'll
I've
talk
had
about that next week.
Who am I? The other thing that has been a major expense for me with the kids that I didn't foresee coming is medical expenses. Like, Rose blew out her knee, maxed out our insurance deductible. We hit catastrophic on her.
Wow.
That was a couple of years ago. Titus broke his arm twice. One time he went to the emergency room four times in a year. Every time you go to the emergency room, when you look at the bill, it's amazing. It's like $5,000.
We haven't had to take Billy to the emergency room, but I have had to take my wife to the emergency room. So she's prepping me. She's like, this is what it's going to feel like.
And then, like, my daughter, we are recording 2 weeks into the new year, and she's already exhausted all of my dental insurance and cost me $1,000 out of pocket.
Yeah, but that smile, it's really going to... It's going to look like $1 million, and it only cost you $1,000.
Amazing. Your perspective. Perfect.
All right. Well, I guess really what I'm taking away from this is I'm just never going to have any money to spare. I was planning on investing some money into gardening this year, but I might as well just put it away for, you know, like maxi pads and arm casts and stuff like that, I guess.
Just keep your job and the arm cast will be paid for. And then you just need tampons for your bloody nose.
Yeah, there you go.
So I feel like I have prepared you for the financial issues that are to come.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like you've really kind of made it clear that I'm never going to have any money. So I'm really just kind of looking at that. In the past, I would spend money on myself freely.
Right.
And I think what this is telling me is that with all of the unknowns that come up, you better have like a really good side fund sitting there waiting. Like, it's not enough to save for college when there's everything between now and then.
We used a 529 to sort of save for our kids, and you can link those up with...
If they're between 5'2" and 5'9".
Right. Right. I couldn't get one because I'm too short.
What is the 529 rule?
It's just a really great way to save for college, and it doesn't get taxed when you pull it out if it's for any kind of college or school expense.
Oh, okay. So it's a certain type of account.
It is. It's a certain type of account that helps you save for college and gives you a tax benefit to do so.
Well, I will look into that.
And we used to put all the grandma money that came in, and we'd be like $50 here, $50 there, and then we would do like a monthly amount of money into it.
I should forward my daughter's early savings account information to my mom. And be like, look, I can never touch this. If you want to invest in it and throw a little bit in there every now and then, you know, feel free to do so.
I think that's a great idea.
To her. So.
That's a great idea. Yeah. It's really fun to buy toys. I guess I'll just stop there. It's really fun to buy toys.
I don't want to spoil my daughter. I don't want her to get an unhealthy relationship with material things. I did. I was raised by my grandparents. They bought me things all the time. And I'm still having issues with that as I'm older, as far as like the discipline to wait to get something and things like that. So my wife and I were talking. We did kind of a big Christmas this year, but I was kind of like, hey, let's just do two presents, you know, like two big things and then maybe some stocking stuffers or whatever. And then I think one thing that we're pretty good about is when we go to the store, we don't buy her something every time we're there.
Right.
You know, most of the toys she has, she gets from family or something like that. We're not depriving her by any means. Like, I go to my sister's house, who has two girls, and you can't find the bed. There's
right.
So much stuff in there. And
one of the tricks that we used when our kids were your child's age, we would tub up a pile of toys, mm-hmm. stick them away, like in... You have a garage. You can stick them in the garage. We didn't have one. And then you pop them out later, and it's like they just got a whole new bunch of toys. And you refill the bin with other things, and it keeps a rotation so that...
I'm going to do that. Everything that has batteries that makes annoying sounds is going to go in that tub.
I told you my trick for toys that make sounds, right?
What was that?
You take clear packing tape, and you put it over the speaker,
uh-huh.
and it mutes the sound significantly.
Oh, okay. Now, then it's just going to sound like there's something hiding behind the couch or something. But
I'll sat on toys at your house.
I'll give it a try.
That do make a ton of noise and scare the shit out of me.
Yeah, Lee was very upset about that.
Yeah, that poop stain on the recliner. A little brown streak. Okay, so moving on to comedy. We have been saying that we were going to talk about topical versus evergreen comedy. What are the pros and cons of each?
Okay. So, I mean, I guess what we should do is define what you mean by those. Topical, obviously, being like maybe something that's in the news, current events, things like that. Evergreen, is that going to be more of like
Stuff about trees.
It's just really hard-hitting cedar comedy.
Right? It's something you could use today.
Yes.
Or in 2 years, and it would be fine. It's stuff that will stand the test of time and isn't related to anything that's going on.
Okay. I think that what you'll find is if we're doing the podcast for a long time, and depending on where it kind of... what it morphs into at a certain point, you will find yourself discussing current events and things and making jokes and just being around people in a green room or something. You're going to find and things are going to pop in your head about what you're discussing. So I think that you'll always have topical stuff that is going to be in your act because you know, for the, if you say something that you think is funny, you're going to want to build on it.
Right.
But once that time passes, you know, it'd be kind of weird to see someone talking about, you know, Bill Clinton right now.
And people do.
And they do.
And it's weird to me.
But. Like Ralphie May, he was a really great comedian. And when John F. Kennedy Jr. died in a plane crash, he wrote a bit about that, and it was pretty extensive, and pretty much to the point where nobody else could tell any jokes about that situation because he covered just about every angle from it.
He's like, I'm going to own this. Licked it. It's mine.
And so that's great. You know, he did that, and then he never has to talk about it again. Jim Norton, if you go through any of his specials that he did for HBO, whether it's Monster Rain or I can't remember, he had like a half hour special on there. In any of those, he always had topical jokes in there because he was on morning radio with Opie and Anthony, and they were always discussing, you know, current events and stuff. So that, you know, that was something that it helps you, especially as you go further in comedy and you're always trying to come up with a new hour,
right?
Every year, every 2 years, when you can make jokes about the current events, that's going to help you in always staying fresh. Now, as far as evergreen goes,
hold on, that's the advantages. Let's take a second and talk about the disadvantages.
Well, the disadvantage, I think, is pretty clear. You know, it's like I said, you start telling a joke about Bill Clinton right now, people are going to be like, how old is this woman?
Right.
You know, and we don't want them to find out. Another problem with topical jokes is that if it's pretty popular, if it's something that's happening in the zeitgeist of our culture, more than one person is going to be talking about it, more than likely. So it's going to be where people are stepping on each other as far as like topics are concerned, who might be in the same scene. I would consider us kind of in this Dallas-Fort Worth scene, even though we're
that's kind of, generous.
Yeah, we're kind of far away from there. But if we're going to be doing, you know, bigger shows and stuff, that's where we're going to be headed.
Right.
So Lisa Marie Presley just passed away, and that might be a topic that people bring up because of her life. She was Elvis's son. She was married to Michael Jackson. Sorry. Her son passed away a few years ago. She was Elvis's daughter. She was married to Michael Jackson. So there's a plethora of stuff there to talk about in her life. I'm trying to think of some other stuff. The Golden Globes just happened. There was a lot of stuff that went on there. So more than likely, if you go to an open mic or a showcase that has more than, you know, five or six comedians on it, there's going to be a couple comedians who bring up the same discussion. Now, if they have their own unique perspective on it, that's no problem. However, if everyone's kind of hitting the same notes, by the time the third comedian does that, everyone's going to be like, look, we get it.
Right.
Like, we don't need to discuss this anymore.
My whole thing with it is I really don't give a shit about the Golden Globes in any way, shape, or form. But if for the sake of staying in current events, I'll talk about it once.
Yeah.
But then those jokes are gone. They're no longer useful at all.
I mean,
like, they're super hyper topical.
Unless next year's Golden Globes fit into the whatever you're talking about. But, you know, I mean, there's a lot of stuff. Avatar 2 is out. You know, people are going to talk about that. I'm trying to think of, like, what's going on in the current events right now.
I think Avatar 2 is a cleaner direction to go just because that movie is going to be at the top of the...
Yeah, it's going to hit $1 billion. You would think that a movie that came out a decade or more from its predecessor wouldn't do as well. But, you know, maybe that's something. You got Maverick and you have Avatar 2... These are things that you can discuss on stage that, you know, maybe you have a more unique perspective than what somebody else would have.
With those two movies, it's about the only way people in my age range are going to get work. They have to reprise something they did when they were young.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, and then evergreens, pros and cons.
Here's the biggest pro is that when you're starting out, you're not going to release an album a year into comedy. You're not going to release an album 3 or 4 years into comedy. It's probably going to take you about 5 to 7 years to get this first hour built that you feel really good about. So as you're writing these jokes about your family life or your personal life or whatever these things that identify with you really strongly,
right,
you're going to be able to continue to write these jokes and really hone in to fine tune them to be where exactly what you want them to be over a longer period of time. They're not going to lose their relevancy. And that is going to help you create that first album that you distribute to the world. You know, that first thing that goes out in a wider market for people to see, and having it be built on non-topical subjects is going to make it longer lasting.
Well, I'm going to shoot back to, what was it, 2 weeks ago when we talked about Jim Gaffigan. When I watched his special, it was all stuff that I could relate to in this moment. Like, Hot Pockets are still Hot Pockets. Mm-hmm. McDonald's is still McDonald's. These are things that are evergreen, even though he's talking about something that currently is going on with him with them.
Right.
I was just thinking...
Well, I think that's the point, right? So those jokes are timeless. And I think when we were talking about it last week, I was saying how satellite radio was becoming a big thing, and I would hear those jokes on it all the time. And that's because it does have that replay value. People who are hearing it for the first time, it doesn't matter where they're from or how old they are, it's kind of relates to everyone. And like you said, you can listen to it 20 years later, and if it's the first time you're listening to it, it's still relevant to what you're doing today.
And speaking about that from the album perspective and the satellite radio perspective, I'll hear stuff that was recorded 2 years ago, but it's about Trump and politics and stuff that happened 2 years ago, and yes. I couldn't care less.
I mean, I didn't write a lot of COVID stuff because, for the most part, yeah, I developed a relationship with my wife during COVID, and so I talked about that a decent amount on stage, but I didn't really talk about the actual COVID experience. Because everyone had COVID jokes when we came back from COVID. Everyone was talking about using Zoom to communicate with people, to having business meetings on Zoom or ordering food to your house. Whatever it was, everyone had the same stuff. So you really, unless you feel like you are the most brilliant person that there is, there's really no need to hit on that because everyone else was doing it already.
The thing that also happened from that is people who wrote a new hour while they were locked up in COVID and they brought that into their set, it dated that set immediately.
Yeah. I mean, even now, like going up on stage, when I talk about when my wife and I got together, it's interesting because it did happen during COVID. So while there are things that I can reference in that time period, I don't really do it anymore. Because it's stuff like, I think one of my jokes is about like why we got married so fast. And for me, the reasoning was she was hot. And I knew that once they let her out into the wild again, I was going to lose her. So I had to lock it down while we were locked down.
Right.
But I don't even have to touch on that anymore.
I think that more references the time period you guys met. And is more evergreen because it's always going to be the time period you guys got together.
Yeah.
So in my opinion, that is evergreen because it denotes when you met your wife. It's not really so much a COVID joke as much as a timestamp.
Right.
And that's when a timestamp's appropriate. The other one is like an expiration date. When they come in, when comics come in and they started these sets lockdown stopped.
So what do you feel like you're doing? You're mostly doing in your act.
This whole conversation came up because I feel like so much of my stuff, like all but 5 minutes of it, is topical.
I don't think so at all.
Like, I've got a set that's related to NASCAR. I've got a set that's related to holidays.
Why is NASCAR topical? That lasts pretty much year long every year.
Well, my jokes are kind of like about Halloween and trick-or-treating there. And
well, that's because we've been doing writing exercises to where I've asked you to, like, hey, write jokes about Halloween.
Okay.
But you can still reference some of those things in the NASCAR bit without, you know, I used to go watch this guy who had this great joke about Halloween where he dropped acid and then there were a bunch of stormtroopers pushing around Chewbacca. And when he dropped acid, he forgot that it was Halloween.
Oh, no.
And so when this is happening, you know, he would tell this story any time of year, regardless of the fact that it was Halloween, just because it was a funny thing. So, you know, when you talk about that town shutting down Halloween or moving it to a different night because Halloween fell on a football night, I mean, that just goes into Texas culture. That's not necessarily Halloween. You can talk about that anytime you want to.
I can see it.
You could build a whole section of material off of high school football in Texas. You know, like you talk about your son playing football, and then you can include that story in there as well. So that doesn't have to be looked at as a topical joke. It's just something from your past that you experienced.
Okay. So I've got to figure out how to package things better.
You know, your husband had to have you pull over on the side of the road so he could poop. That could have happened any time of year.
That's true.
That's never going to go away.
So just find ways to wrap things that I'm considering topical or related to a season into other packaging that's evergreen.
Yeah, I mean, so honestly, like, I think the only one that really wouldn't fit in anywhere else, I'm going over all the jokes that you've done in the last few months. Just the Christmas material about moving the Christmas tree.
Right, and all the jokes about the actual tree.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only one that I think is like, you can only do that when the day after Thanksgiving until New Year's.
Right.
You know, if that joke goes up with the Christmas tree and it comes down with the Christmas tree as well.
That's fair. So it'll be something to look forward to next year.
Yeah, but that's the only thing that I would say is real topical in your set.
Okay.
Like that the billboard joke is evergreen as it gets.
That's true. So I am heading in 2 days, I will have been doing stand-up for 6 months.
Okay.
And you've been along on the journey the entire time. And every time I turn around, it's something new. I have yet to feel, like, comfortable, which is okay because I like feeling pushed out of my comfort zone. And the latest thing that's come about that's pushing me outside of my comfort zone is a roast battle.
Oh, okay.
And
being mean for laughs.
Right. I am afraid, as a white woman, that I'm just going to come off as a bitch. Which isn't necessarily inaccurate. It's just, it's one of my fears.
Who are you roasting? You don't have to provide a name if you don't want to, but just who are they?
It's happening at the Deep End, and it's a lot of people from there. And Jason, who's one of the
owners,
mm-hmm. He decided on the open mic Wednesday before that he would preview some of his jokes. And it got me wondering if he only invited me to be part of the roast so that he could do dirty vagina jokes.
Dirty vagina jokes? Dirty vagina jokes?
Yes. And I'm like,
is he doing it about your vagina?
Right. Which, you know, I'm just going to put this out there. When I do stand-up comedy, I wear clothes.
That's important. I don't know if the type of clothes that you wear is necessarily important. You know, I've heard comedians talk about that quite a bit. But I think just the fact that you have clothes on is critical.
It's a step in the right direction.
Here's the thing. Doing roast battle jokes is hard when it's not celebrities, because for the celebrities, we know all their dirt. You know, they're in the paparazzi. It's really easy to come up with things to write about well-known people.
Right.
For these, I did a roast battle in L.A., and like one of the things that people who really wanted to perform well at the roast battle would do is they would get together with the person that they were battling to ask questions and to come up with ideas of things to talk about.
Right.
Or to make fun of them about. I don't know if you're going to have the opportunity to do that, But, like, who are some of the people that are on the roast battle?
Well, Jason. It's going to be hosted by the other owner, The Deep End, Mike. And some that we spend some time with. Hefe, he comes to all the open mics. Dane, who's the owner of a pizzeria downtown. Okay. I have never met this person.
I don't know if I know him or not.
Let's see. King George. He's the Caribbean dude.
I guess all I would say is that to do the best, you're going to have to go through their social media. Google them. See if anything pops up. See if any of them are a sex offender registry or... Actually, I guess with these people, see if any of them aren't on the sex offender registry. You know, and maybe watch a few roasts to kind of see, because it's a different style of comedy.
What's the joke structure for a roast joke?
I'm trying to remember some that I would do. So the one that I did was this guy, he was in Las Vegas at the same time that the guy killed 68 people.
At the music festival?
At the music festival, which is really upsetting because it could have been 69 people.
It's awful.
Yeah. I mean, and that's what it is, right? You're like, you're trying to say the meanest thing that'll get a laugh. But it should be quick like that, like a two-liner. This person is this, so this is the funny part about it. Here's a couple other jokes that I wrote about it. I said, this guy is married to a woman who's out of his league. She's a tattoo artist, which is ironic because the only thing permanent about their marriage will be the tattoos that she gives him.
Oh, man.
His dad is a preacher, and he tried to talk him out of moving to L.A., which means he believes in an imaginary man in the sky, but not his own son.
Oh.
That's just, the joke structure on those should be really short and really tight.
And a little evil.
Yeah, really, really bad.
Okay.
Really mean.
So let's say...
It's a roast. You know, they got you on this thing, but you don't really know these people. So it makes it a little... If you go back to the old days with Dean Martin and Sammy Davis Jr., these were all people in this really high-class celebrity society that were getting together to honor somebody and kind of take them down a notch at the same time. But they all really knew each other.
Right.
And when you watch the Comedy Central roast, it's kind of the same thing. But I know people who wrote for these things. They're getting a room of people in together, and they're all going through this person's life and history to figure it out. You're going to be roasting five normal people that most people have never heard of. The hardest part about this isn't going to be the joke writing. It's going to be the research to find out what's interesting about them to tell a joke about.
It's rough because there are so many people involved, too. Now, I want to know, are there any special rules when you are roasting someone who has disabilities?
Yeah. Focus on the disabilities.
Okay.
I mean, great. They're putting themselves up there. So you're talking about Israel.
Israel was born without legs, and one of his arms is just past the elbow with one finger.
Yeah. So he actually roasts himself quite a bit.
That's most of his set.
In his act. I mean, he's opened that up for fair game. And yeah, for sure, you want to focus on that unless there's something else darker in his past. But when you can make fun of something that the audience can see, it's going to work better anyway.
That makes sense because they don't know.
You're going to tell roast jokes. You're going to make fun of a guy. I was going to say standing next to you, but being propped up next to you without any limbs, and you're not going to acknowledge the fact that he doesn't have any limbs?
Well, he wears prosthetic legs, so you can't even tell. But to me, it's like he's always walking on stilts.
Yeah. Hey, there you go. I mean, that's maybe not the joke, but that's pretty close. You're getting there with something like that. Make up the reason why he's like that. The real thing is his mom was on some medication when she was pregnant with him, I think is what it is.
I don't know the backstory.
But, I mean, I think it'd be funnier if it was like a wood chipper accident or something like that. Really come up with maybe something to do with prostitutes. There's some thing that he was doing that ended up causing it to be like that would be, the direction that I would go in. When is the roast?
The roast is 3 weeks from now.
Oh, okay. So you got plenty of time to write stuff about these people. Here's one thing you can talk about. I would definitely joke about the fact that they named their comedy group the Comedy Union of North Texas, which is shortened down to CUNTS.
That is the acronym, is
which
CUNT.
Is funny because that group is the only cunt they could ever get into. Something like that.
It's like an aspirational name.
Yes.
And now I'm a cunt, I guess. So if I go participate in this roast, am I then a cunt?
I mean, depends on how hard you go. Depends on how much you talk about Israel being handicapped.
I'm thinking for next week, let's both watch the same comedy special and kind of break it down a little bit.
Okay. Did you have any of your favorite comedians in mind, or would you like for me to be like, hey, let's watch this one?
Earlier in the podcast, you mentioned Jim Norton, Monster Rain. Do you want to do that one, or do you want to throw something else out there?
I'm trying to think of what, in my opinion, is one of the best comedy specials ever so that I can also enjoy it.
Do you have a comedy special you would like to throw into the ring?
Yeah, I got one, and it's because he was so huge at one time and then just gets slandered now for pretty much just hate. I nominate Dane Cook's Comedy Central Presents.
I love Dane Cook.
It's 21 minutes long, and it was the first thing that he did, I feel like, that really blew up. So that would be one that I think we could both watch, because you can be critical of it as well. There's some things, like he wears a tank top, which I'm like really trying to be cool and like, yeah, I'm a cool guy. Look at, I'm wearing a tank top. But I think overall it really like set the pace, set the tone for his career that was about to make him probably the biggest comedian in the world.
For a minute,
yeah.
That's what it is.
I mean, he still drives a Lamborghini. He's doing okay.
Damn.
It's yellow.
Of course it is.
He also has a really nice Jeep.
How's that make you feel?
It was fine. Like, I knew when I saw his Jeep that he didn't put the work into it. You know, he wasn't out there turning wrenches on it. So when I looked at mine that was significantly older and maybe not as shiny, I could still be like, yeah, but I put that lift kit on.
Did you really?
Yeah.
That's badass.
So I took a little bit more personal pride, but his Jeep does look pretty.
So what you're saying is you're not just a pretty face?
That's right. I'm talented with my hands.
That's how you got that carpal tunnel.
I was going to say, that's how I got my wife.
Awesome. So let's watch some TV since we're stuck
in
Texas.
Yeah, I can't wait to get out of here.
You're never going away.
Check, check, check.
Oh, it was my jack. My jack was off.
Oh, God. My co-host is a child.
Is that the sound of a hack?